I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 575. I was dreading Monster Hunter World, and then it was forced on me.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the original,
the fucking original,
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Sup, sis?
Well, I'm back.
I know.
What is that?
Back again. Tell your friends.
Yeah. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
We are.
Yeah, we sing a lot on this podcast. But we're back live again this week. I'm glad to be here in the BPAD, or Black Panther After. It's been an interesting week. It's starting to, like, look like kind of, sort of, a house.
Yeah, I know.
Our house. So I'm, like, so excited that I'll probably be back in the house just in time for PAX East.
I know, right? The way that they're going. But, like, hey... It's like, did you want to have Easter at your house? Now you could think about it, but you probably shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah. I should be in the house before Easter. So that's you know, going to be dope. Because hotel living, man, it's nice, but it's not nice. And I got to say, the TVs are too small. Like, I miss my gaming setup because my TV is dope and I need it in my life. And my bandwidth, whew, because their bandwidth sucks. You know, so I just got to get back to my spot, get back to my cave, my Wu Man cave, and jump back into things. Like, I didn't get to do any Destiny during the Crimson Day stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't either, but it's because I don't care.
Yeah, I know you don't care, but I was like, oh, I want to pick up some, like, cool, dope Valentine's Day themed gear and armor, and maybe pay some attention to my Titan.
Right.
Because I rolled one, but, like, I haven't even finished the campaign with him. So I feel bad. Well, her. I feel bad.
I get it.
Because she hasn't even, like, defeated Gaul yet.
Oh.
So that's rude. Yeah. Yeah, that's rude. Like, if you roll a character, you gotta whoop Gaul's ass.
Well then, I'm going to pray that you get in the house fast enough so you can get back to your gaming routine.
Yeah, please do. Send thoughts and prayers. That's where they're
thoughts
effective.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and fucking prayers. Let's
that's
not even
where they're
get
effective.
Into that bullshit.
Okay,
not even get
so,
there.
Moving right along. We're going to talk about video games in a positive way, because fuck people who don't. And I know you've got a game that you're going to talk about that I kind of questioned you about.
You did. And so let's just jump right into that.
Okay let's do that.
So yes, Ninja comes to me and hits me up on the text and is like, yo, bro, should I get Monster Hunter World? To which I responded, no. Don't think that game's for you.
Don't lie. First, your response was, why are you asking? Because
right. That's
not what I asked. What I asked was, do you think Monster Hunter is the type of game for me?
And I was like,
and you were like, why are you asking? You like, didn't say, like, yes or no first.
No, because in my mind, like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, did she buy this on a whim and now she's having buyer's remorse and now I'm going to have to play it? Because I was debating whether or not I was going to play it. Because I'm like, I could see myself getting up really early, playing this before work, coming home and cooking, and then playing this till bed. Like, I was a little worried about it at first because it does have a lot of elements that I like in my open world games, and I was worried. So I was like, because if I could avoid paying for something to play it, then I was going to do that.
Right.
So I was like, if she gives this for free, then I really don't have an excuse. Then I'm going to have to get divorced. Like, it's going to get messy.
and I just got married, it feels
right,
like.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm not even a year yet. So I'm like, don't know. So then when I was like, I don't think it's for you. And I'm like, it's open world. There's a lot to do. Like, and I know you like open world games, but only to, like, a certain degree. But there's, like, a lot going on in it. And then, of course, because now I've thought about it for her, I start thinking about it for me, and I'm like, I would like it. I would like it too much. I'd like it, like, first season Mad Men-like. Like, straight up marathon that's all day, like.
Deep love. That's not, so, like.
That's, like, obsessive. So it's like, And then I was like, husband, what do you think? He's like, I bought us two copies. I said, well then, guess I know what's happening now. And he's like, you should tell your sister that we're getting it so that she doesn't think that you did this behind her back. And I'm like, true that, let me hit her up. Which I then do for everyone who's listening. And of course she's like, if I was going to get it, I'd get it on the Xbox. I'm like, well, we got it for the PS4, so can't play with you, bye. And go about my business. So obviously, yes, currently I am actively playing Monster Hunter World, which is an action role-playing game developed by Capcom. It's a part of the whole Monster Hunter series, which I think I talked a little bit last week because I had just got it, but I hadn't really gotten into the game yet. And I had already kind of been approached by a lot of our friends in our circle about why I wasn't about the Monster Hunter universe way before now. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I was not too interested in it. I think I kept thinking of Monster Rancher, which was that horrible, horrible excuse for an anime series back in the 90s. And I thought it was related to that in some regard, so I didn't want to bother with it. And I mean, I just had some friends who were deeply in that fandom, you know, and if you're not in something at the start of it, a lot of times people will question your credibility. And I was like, I don't really want to get into any of that. It becomes a whole thing. Mm-hmm. It does. It becomes a horrible mess. And I was like, I don't want to sit through all that, so maybe I won't. But now I'm like, I'm an adult. I can give zero fucks about what people think about me and my gaming habits and whatever. So they can all suck it. And mm-hmm. I went and I bought it. And it took me, like, a full day to download it because I had to get rid of some save files on my current PS4, but I hardly ever touch my PS4. I'm usually on my husband's, but this gives us a game to play together. Except. So,
sounds
overall,
like a lot of exceptions there.
Oh, overall, do I enjoy the game? I do. It is very Japanese, and I'm not saying that to be condescending or negative, but they don't give you a lot. It is kind of Dark Souls-y in the sense that...
When you say they don't give you a lot, what do you mean?
Well, like, they don't give you a lot of backstory. Like, so your character, when you make them, which their character creation is probably what a lot of people, like, raved about in the beginning, which I
almost bought the game simply because of the character creator.
And it is on point. Like, no lie, sis. Like, Monster Hunter World got customization of your character flawlessly. Like, it makes the most sense. And, you know, it's not like Final Fantasy where everyone is super pretty. Because, you know, like, you don't always want to be super pretty, but you want to be realistic. Like, you want to be cute. You're right.
But
like,
I want to be cute.
I want to be like a hard 7.5. 8, mm-hmm. 8 if I'm drinking alcohol. You know, like, mm-hmm. goals. Mm-hmm. And this game, the customization definitely gives you that. So you're like, okay, great. And then on top of that, your, like, little companion is a cat called a palico. So, like, and you get to customize your palico. So you're like, aw, shit. I can have my dream kitty. The kitty I always wanted. And I got my little calico palico who's named Rory.
I'm sorry, you have a calico palico named Rory.
Yes, yes. So their feet, so it's really funny. They're a race of cat people called felines. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they can't just say feline. They have to, mm-hmm. they have to be cute about it. Yep. And you get to deck them out and build them armor and pet them and feed them sausage and go on your missions with them. And they're always like, you're my best friend. And I'm like, hell yeah. It's like, let's go kill these dragons. Because, you know, that's what cats
and
humans
kitty.
Do. Exactly. Like, you and your cat friend slaying the untamed world. It's completely rooted in reality. Like, sign me the fuck up. But anyway, so they don't give you much in terms of narrative, which, you know, and all of you guys listening know, that I am a slave to narrative. Like, the mechanics can be wonky, like, the graphics, like, I do tend to prefer that my games be pretty, but, you know, if they're lacking in graphics, if the story is enough, that, you know, I will digest it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, yeah. Yeah. So, when you start the game...
What do you mean, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, there's a story or there's not a story?
Yeah. So, let me break this down for you. So, you make your character, and your character is a hunter. And there have been, in the history of Monster Hunters, these random fleets of hunters and resource gatherers and, like, nerdy people, scientists and anthropologists and animal studiers and whatever the appropriate word for that is. And you are part of the fifth fleet. And when you start, you're already on the boat heading to the new world. And you're like, okay, so why have there been five fleets? Like, what's taking out the other four fleets? What's going on with that?
But they don't really tell. Dragons.
Right, but they don't say that. They're just like, oh, we're going to a new world to, like, colonize it for us humans. And, like, you're part of the fifth fleet. And you're really excited, and you're one of the, like, I guess they're ranked. And you're an A rank. And A rank hunters get a sidekick, who I have deemed my waifu. Mm-hmm. Because she's very nerdy, she carries this big book around, and she's just like, we're on the hunt, I'm gonna cook for you, and give you buffs, and I'm gonna tell you about animals, so that when you go out into the wild to hunt them, and gather them, and catch them, that you'll be fully knowledgeable. How is your, like, always checking in, always giving me updates, and I'm like...
So
and
is
like,
she your waifu, or is she my waifu, M-A-I,
I mean, waifu? I mean... I call her my waifu, M-Y, because she's mine. Mm-hmm. Granted, everybody has the exact same one, so, like, she's sliding in the DMs, and I get
so
it.
So she slide, like, in all the DMs.
She in every DM. And that, you know what? In the new world, DMs haven't been created, so you know what? You got to align yourself with the strongest people. I get it. I get it, girl. I get it. But anyway, but she's, like, super smart, and, like, at first it's kind of aloof when you're on the boat, because, like, all the A hunters are trying to find their researchers, and, like, she's, like, hanging out in the corner, like, I know it's you, but, like, I don't want to talk to you just yet, like, I'm not sure how well we're gonna bond, and now we're, like, super best friends, and, like, she low-key wants my V, because, you know, I am a femille in the new world. So there's that. So we get to this new world, and on our way, this giant magma dragon thing pops out of the ocean and kind of fucks our ship up. It fucks the ship up. But we managed to be close enough to where we were going anyway, so it's like plot convenience, you know? So it's just like, oh, we gotta figure out what this lava dragon monster is, and why is it coming to this island all of a sudden, and what happened to the other, you know, regiments that got sent out here, and, like, apparently I'm the best hunter that ever hunted, so they always give me the shit to do.
Like, because you're the best.
Because I'm the fucking...
Around.
Yeah. So the main character is, like, the best hunter, even though I'm super new and, like, just came out of the Academy for Hunters. Like,
you are literally fresh off the boat, off the dragon.
Literally. So I have the first mission, you have to go find your Palico, because you do get separated from your Palico. And I was like, oh, no, we got to go find Rory, like, right now, because there are sausages I need to feed Rory, and we need to start taking down these animals. And I mean, the world is vast. There's a lot going on. And granted, I probably clocked about, I want to say, 45 hours at this point. And I'm still not even halfway through the island. Like, I'm probably a third of the way through. Because, and here's where the shit gets shitty. So, because while the game is beautiful, there are some issues. There are some things that I don't get structurally that really kind of impact on what I'm doing. So, like, I like quests. Give me quests. You want me to slay 20 bugs? I'll go slay 20 bugs. I'll be right back. Hold my gun, waifu. I'll be right back. And I go with my knife and I kill my bugs and everything's great. But then it's like, okay, so can you go kill another 20 bugs? By the way, you have these quests, like, you got, like, a billion of these quests to kill these bugs. And I'm like, all right. It's like, oh, these are your investigations, but they're not part of your main story. Okay. Well, then there are events that are time sensitive, and you have to be a certain monster hunter rank to, like, do them. Which, okay, that also makes sense. But it's really hard to raise your monster hunter level. Because from my gathering, the way it works is every time you find and discover a new monster, and by the time you find them, they're usually, like, more advanced than what you currently are. Mm-hmm. When you find them, so they rape you, and, like, they'll rape you several times until you figure out, oh, man, I may need to change my armor and shit, because, like, I ain't ready for this. Mm-hmm. You know, just like the real world, sort of. Right. And you're constantly struggling. And once you manage to take down, like, a big old T-Rex dragon that spits fire at you, the Anchanath, which is, like, he's a fucking cunt. I hate him.
Wait, you can take down an Anthanath?
Yeah. Eventually, it's one of your quests. You have to. Like, you gotta kill these things. Like, you can't just roam around in this free world and not interact with it. Because if you don't interact with it, it will interact with you. Okay? So there's all that going on. But once you've managed to kill, you know, the T-Rex that spouts fire at you, and you get your Monster Hunter rank up, you only go up one. And I'm like, this guy took me an hour.
You kill an Anthony, your rank only goes up by one?
Only goes up one. So that's case in point bullshit. For me, I was level 3 when they're finally like, yeah, there's an encroaching Anthanath in this level, and, like, you need to take him out, because he's kind of an asshole. And I was like, all right, I hadn't discovered the Anjanath yet, so, like, I didn't know what it was. So I was like, all right, maybe it's that weird bird-looking thing that I've, like, seen. Nope, that's the Kuliaku. He's also a cunt bag, but for different reasons. And, like, I saw some, like, dragons flying in the sky, and I'm like, is that the Anjanath? Oh, no, that's a Regulus. He spouts fire. Oh, I'm dead. Oh, because I just happened to look up, and there was a dragon who sat on me and, like, squashed me. And
you got,
like,
sat on by a dragon?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And most of the time, the hitboxes for the animals and the monsters are so faint and, like, discreet. Whereas, you know, if it happens to slam down on the ground near you, you take half health and, like, you're dying. And it just... it's so irky. Like, it irked me to no end how the learning curve is just not, it's just not great. And the Anjanath is super powerful and moves around a lot, and you don't move very quickly, just so you know. Like, you're always mm-hmm. kind of sauntering around, especially if you're a female. Like, you're shaking your butt for somebody. I don't know who. Like, I guess it's supposed to be for me, but it's not for me. But...
okay.
But I'm just like, you know, if we're, like, a hunter and stuff, like, shouldn't we be, like, crouching all the time? And, like, can we be less sexy in this world where the only humans are those of us who came on this boat? Like, I ain't trying to get nobody. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just out here trying my grind, trying to survive, like, all of that. But, yeah, so by the time I get this Anjanath, like, all murdered and stuff, here I am at level 3, and I'm like, oh, I took him out way under-leveled, because, you know, I'm good at shit. And I'm like, maybe mm-hmm. I'll go up 2 levels, and maybe they'll let me increase my armor. No, 1 monster level point. Good for you. Here's 1 armor sphere that doesn't even fully level up my shit. And I'm like, what is this bullshit? What is this bullshit? And, of course, I'm like, oh, well, maybe I can jump into the multiplayer and get some friends in the mix, make some new friends out in this new world, because, you know, I'm out here alone, grinding my hustle. No. So the multiplayer system, and this is where the biggest ugh of this game kind of comes from for me, is that...
okay.
So you have to post your quests/jobs on this board, and you put them up there. And you have to then go from that screen to, you want this to be multiplayer? How many people do you want on your team? And you could go up to, I think, 4 or 5. However, what they don't tell you is that for every additional person on your team, everything becomes that harder. Okay? Mm. So So you're like, oh, here's this level 2 quest to take out, like, 50 bugs, but you got 5 people with you, and all of a sudden these bugs are, like, made out of vibranium, and you're like, what the fuck, am I in Wakanda? Is that where I'm at?
I mean,
of all places to be, like, I ain't mad at it, but these are bugs.
It makes sense if you were in Wakanda.
Right, but that's not where we're at. We're, like, you know, so, like, I think the skewing system is a little off by a lot. So, and most times, you can't just jump into somebody's quest, like, from the jump. Because they're like, oh, no, if you haven't seen these cutscenes, no people can join your session until everybody has seen the cutscenes. And I'm like, did this team not see how, you know, Destiny did this? Because, like, there are more seamless ways to do this. And I'm not too sure why we're going... I mean, this is back in prehistoric-ish times, I think. And I understand that. But, like, just because the game's about prehistoric time doesn't mean the UI needs to be. Mm-hmm. And the structure needs to be. So, like, there's a little disconnect. Because it feels like this game is 100% more single-player. It's single-player with friends. Because, like, you all have to be at the exact same place, seeing the exact same things in order to jump into somebody's game. But sometimes it makes more sense to not invite other people because it just becomes that much harder. Also, you don't have a lot of control over your character either. So when you hone in on an animal, which you get this nice big red target on them, you know, and you go into your special attacks, which don't even get me started on that. Half the time when you, you know, execute your, I'm going to call it a limit break, even though it's not a limit break. But you know what a limit break is. But yep. when you go into that super sweet move, you could be, like, 2 steps away from the monster you're trying to hit and completely blow it. And you're, like, you get more frustrated at the fact that you're not landing these hits, even though the game makes it look like you're, like, right in the line of the hitbox. Mm. So you're, like, what the fuck is that? But there are some positives to this game. I mean,
I was waiting for those.
I've mentioned the Palico, which I absolutely like. I do like the structure trees for crafting. They also don't give you a lot of direction in that. So, I mean, I guess that's more of a meh. Like, I like that there's all these variants on ammo. Some are actually built on, you know, if you develop a team, you have one person who does, like, the buffs and the debuffs and all of that. And you've got someone who does DPS and you have someone who can build up on damage. And, like, they do allow you to structure your teams to be very RPG aligned. But, obviously, you don't want that many people in your teams because, you know, that just makes things even harder to do. I kind of like that they're giving us that ability. This game does suffer from big-ass weapons that don't make any sense, but in a weirdly humorous way. So my character currently right now, I wield dual blades. So I'm a DPS character. My expectation is I go into a fight and I can hit multiple times with my dual blades, and I can, like, I might not take big swings, but I'm constantly burning down the hit points of whatever monster I am tracking or trying to kill. But there are other weapons that don't make sense, like this weird insect glaive, which kind of looks like a sphere that then summons, like, a ladybug type monster that, like, I have not mastered it yet. And I mean, the bug looks cute, but I'm like, what does the bug do? And then there's, like, the oversized gun blade, which can be a gun, but can also be a blade, but it's really heavy, so you move really slow, so you're pretty much just a big target for animals as soon as you take your gun out. So, I mean, that's not really cool. And then there is the bagpipe, which essentially makes you a bard, and it's literally this giant metal bagpipe that you actually have to do, like, a rhythm game to, like, make buffs for your team. You could also use it like a hammer, but why the fuck do that? Like, some of these weapons do not make any sense, but they're humorous. So, like, I'm going to give that a plus because there's some creativity there. Somebody gave somebody the task, like, make an original weapon. And someone's like, bagpipes, done, next. And they just let people run wild with this atmosphere. The atmosphere is a big plus for me, though, because it's very big, it's immersive. You can go on expeditions which are not quest-bound at all, and you can actually just wander through the space and explore it and expand it that way. There are many fun elements, like you can fish, and they actually make the fishing, like, super, super easy for those who hate fishing in games where they try to do all this stuff to fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch endemic life and get research points that allow you to learn more about the environment, which will make the environment more easy for your hunter to navigate and move around in and manipulate, which I also really like. So I will spend a lot of time doing that. Like, I'll go and catch anteaters and bugs and fish and birds. And I'll spend time with the friendly animals that don't want to murder me. And I try really hard not to kill those animals, because I only really kill those that aggress at me first. Unless I'm on a quest to kill a certain thing. And then, like, no bets, you know, all bets are off then. But there are cute little, like, stegosaurus-y animals that walk around, and they're just, like, doing their thing and, like, not bothering me. I ain't bothering them, you know, and I'm like, that's nice. I don't have to engage with them if I don't want to, but then my husband comes in and kills them all for their meat, and I'm like, we have, like, 100 meats. You don't need any more meat.
You don't need all the meat.
You don't need to kill them unless we were sent out by our commander to kill them. And he's just like, but I want meat. So he'll kill them, and I'll feel bad.
So in your description so far of everything, like, I am not hearing anything about the game that screams that I need to play it.
No.
Because it seems very heavy on resource management.
It is.
Repetitive mission.
Yep.
But pretty open world?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, there are definitely interesting elements going on here. And like I said, I'm probably only a third through the map. And right now, I've found a desert location and, like, a jungle location. So I'm probably going to find, like, a more watery-based swamp area eventually. I would love to know how we're going to get an ice world, like an ice level here. We probably won't unless I go up mountain where it's, like, super cold. But I mean, the elder dragon we're fighting is a giant lava dragon, so not sure how that works, but I mean, Zelda did it, and if Zelda can do it, I feel like this game could do it. I think a lot of people, attribute this game or align this game to Horizon Zero Dawn, which we already know I thought I was going to be all about, and then watched my
surprise
play it and was like, no. But going from this game, Monster Hunter World, I think, oh, I would now give a Horizon Zero Dawn a decent chance, because I think one that had a stronger story to engage me in the multiple quests that I'd be doing and the challenges that I'd be doing in Horizon Zero Dawn. But with all of that said, I'm still playing it. Like, I'm still engaged. I want to figure everything out. I want to craft all the things. I want to punch the Anjanath in the face and have his face fall off. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be doing all these things, and I'm still engaged enough. So I think even though that there's a lot of things I would change in the structure of this game, and I mean, I would expand more on the world, because it's very much like Bright. When I talked about Bright, I was like, oh man. The universe, like, the setting that Bright is in, is so interesting. If this had been a mini-series where I could have learned more about the narrative, then I think I'd feel more inclined to want to feel for the story. Because the story itself was way, way too small for everything that Bright was giving us. And if you haven't seen Bright, don't.
Well, there's a glowing recommendation for it.
No. Like, visually, it's nice. Like I said, the setting they're giving us is great. The story is just not big enough for what they've done. And I'm like, I know we're getting a sequel, but I'm like, I don't know. Because if you've seen Bright, and I'll spoil it, so then you guys don't have to go through the pain of watching it. But essentially, these two cops have a really bad night in the same two blocks of L.A. And in this universe, the mythical world of, like, elves and dragons and fairies and, you know, wizards and whatever exist among humans. So, and there are orcs. And orcs are, like, essentially the black people of the movie. Like, people don't like orcs. Orcs don't like people. Like, there's been this animosity, and they're slowly trying to incorporate these two. We have an orc on the police force, and he gets put with Will Smith, who has this big chip on his shoulder, you know, and, like, doesn't want to be paired up with the orc. Now, granted, they were on a case where Will Smith got shot because the orc cop let this orc kid go for reasons that you find out later in Bright. But you find out that brights are magic users that can hold wands. And wands are essentially whatever you want, you get. And there are cases of humans being brights in this universe, but the only way to know if you're a bright is if you hold a wand and you don't blow up. So a lot of humans are like, you know what? Don't want to risk that. I think I'm special and unique, but not like that. You know what I'm saying? So most humans won't touch wands for this reason. And wands are very hard to come by. And most brights generally are elves. And elves kind of stay in their own realm. But there are some elves that that are in this L.A. area. And you find out in the movie that this bright elf has contracted this killer to go into L.A. and take out this other elf for some random reason. And you find out that the elf that has the hit on them is also a bright. And the assassin shows up to take this bright out, and this bright has managed to smuggle a wand and kills the assassin and is now running around with this wand. And these bad cops who are about to frame this orc cop for, like, some bad shit to get him out of the force because they don't want no orc blood in their workplace, they find the wand and are like, oh, man, if any of us are a bright, we could, like, wish this shit away and, like, we could all get money and, like, we're bad cops. And Will Smith's like, I'm a good cop. I just have a chip on my shoulder. I'm not about this. Jacoby's not a bad orc. Like, I think we're being really mean to him. And then the bad cops are like, well, we're going to kill you too. And then Will Smith takes all of them out gangsta style. And Jacoby, the orc, has no idea what's going on. So, like, he gets on the defensive. And then the evil elf lady shows up because she wants her wand back. And then there's a fight in a Korean club somewhere. Like, it got weird at this point. Like,
Yakuza
there's a lot. Sort of. Well, Yakuza's Japan. But whatever the equivalent in Korea is. But needless to say, like, there's a lot of interesting elements here. But they're all compiled on top of each other with this story that literally goes around the block. Like, because there's a binding spell on the wand, so the wand can't be too far away from its original user. Like, it's bad writing, because they throw this line away. And it's like, really? Really, this whole time, like, it can't be within this outside of this radius at all, or a barrier shows up. So this lady is always aware that her wand is somewhere nearby, but she doesn't have a tracking spell to get its legit GPS location. Are you serious? Like,
okay.
Like, a lot of it doesn't make sense. And I'm like, if this had been done ABC style, like Once Upon a Time, granted, I think that series went on way too many seasons. It could have ended in season 4 and probably made sense. But if they could have expanded on it more, it would have made sense. So, and I think that's what's going on with Monster Hunter World. So, I mean, unless you have played all the Monster Hunters and gotten an idea of what the premise of the games are, where you're a hunter and you hunt these animals and you get more popular the more animals you hunt. If they had somehow incorporated all of that into Monster Hunter World, like, if we heard some lore about this first hunter that did all this shit, like, I feel like I'd be more invested. But, like, I'm kind of not. But the repetitiveness and, like, obviously me mastering the skills are what enticed me to continue playing. So, I mean, for $60, do I believe Monster Hunter World is worth it? No.
Okay.
I believe if you could wait for this to come down in price, like, I'd say maybe, like, $35-$40. And I would get it discly, because after you play it all, you could then return it, which is the bad thing, because we bought this digitally, so I'll have this forever, like a bad tramped stamp.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, until I uninstall it from my PS4, which won't be for a while, because there is enough here for me to want to trudge through, but it is seriously kind of a trudge for me. And, like, yikes. I want to play with other people, but like I said, I've become very cautious of that, because I know the minute someone comes into my session, everything becomes that much harder. Unless I'm doing something wrong, which I could easily do. This could completely be user error on my side. So if you're out there playing Monster Hunter, and you know I'm now playing Monster Hunter, give me some fucking tips. I need some tips.
But I mean,
it's still not Enchanted Arms, so, like, it's not that shitty. but like it's
like, you went there?
Nothing's been that shitty. So,
ouch.
Yeah. So like there's enough here, but just barely. Just barely.
Okay.
I know.
Right? All right. So I mean, I'm glad that I didn't buy the game.
Yeah,
I was really
totally
being motivated by watching some other YouTubers play the game. YouTubers, I should say, play the game. And it was really interesting to me because I really liked the character creator and I liked the Palicos. And as I was watching people early on get into the game and learn how to hunt animals and track them, I thought that mechanic was nice. But after I got through any player that was like, you know, more than an hour in, I started to be concerned because it seemed like there was just way too much focus on look at the thing, get the element, sharpen your weapon, fight, couple of hits, sharpen your weapon, duck somewhere, hide somewhere, sharpen your weapon. Okay, now you've killed this animal. Great. You now got, like, parts to do part of the armor for them. Unfortunately, now you've got to go and fight at least three more, and hopefully random number Jesus gives you all of the pieces for the armor, which, you know, aren't Jesus and I are not on a first-name basis.
It's never been... Aren't Jesus has never been too kind to you.
No, not at all. And so then it was get the armor. Okay, great. Get the armor for what? So that I can take on more of the same animal, so I can get other parts that I can sell to get food and to get more armor, so I can go get more monsters to get more armor, so I can get more food. So it just started to seem very, very, very repetitive.
There's a big, big element to that. So, I mean, the thing that I like about the starting point is that this game is fairly nice, because in most games like this, they give you one shit weapon, they give you basic shitty armor, and then you go out, you kill stuff, and you make more armor. This game does start you off with one base set, but it's not a bad set to start with, and you actually get a leather one, a bone one, and a alloy one. So you can already kind of start structuring what kind of hunter you're going to be. So, like, I like to be nimble. So, like, my hunter stayed in her leather armor for a while, and then I started building up bone, because bone can take heat damage. You know, and I'm like, if we're fighting, generally, dragons, I should probably have something that can, you know, deal with heat, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, that makes some sense, and something that's a little bit durable. But as you kill more of the monsters, you start getting the trees for your weapons, and your armor starts to expand based on the monsters that you've already killed. So you get that. But then, like you said, you have to go out there and kill multiple of those monsters, because they don't always drop the same things that you need to craft the armor. And then even once you get that, once you've crafted that specialty armor, it's already at a level one. So then you have to put armor spheres in it to make it stronger. So, like, once again, you're hunting those monsters again in hopes that they'll drop armor balls for you to put armor balls on your armor. And, like, it does get kind of repetitive. But, like I said, I think more of the game is going to come out through the expansion of the island that we're on. And I'm looking forward to seeing how all of that's going to play out for my character and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, in the beginning, it is definitely a grind, and there is definitely there's a cap. There is a learning curve to this game. Because, like, for the longest time, like, they give you a range weapon, a slinger, on your arm, and then you have your main weapon, which is, like in my case, is the dual blades, or, like, the gun glaive, or the insect glaive, or whatever. And I didn't use the slinger because I thought it was stupid. You know, but then when you realize that you're fighting animals that have a speed faster than you and you don't have a lot of stamina, you're like, shit, I should just carry a gun and just shoot things like a hunter that I know hunters to be like, because no point in me, you know, leveling up my dual blades because I can't get up to them fast enough in order to slash them half the time, unless I'm using traps, and traps suck balls. I'm not great at making traps, and you can only have one of each type of trap with you, which I think is bullshit, because if I can craft 10 traps, I should be able to carry 10 traps. Like, this item management is bullshit. I don't get it. I don't know why they think minimalist is the way to go. But, like, I didn't make the game. I ain't making money from this game. So, like, you know, and Capcom's certainly making money off of it.
Yep. The sales of the game have been fantastic.
Yeah. And they have all these great ways of tying me into at least signing in every day because there are login bonuses that I can get that give me vouchers that make it easy for me to get really awesome drops when I kill things, which I understand is just another loot box. And I've read enough theories about that bullshit to know that that's just like a gambling mentality that they've like instilled in their game. And I get it, but I'm an adult, so I'm fully aware of what I'm doing. And, I mean, I'm so glad there aren't microtransactions, at least not yet. I hope there aren't, because, no, this game does not need that. There is too much shit going on as it is. But there's enough to it that I like. But, like, if there had been one more serious thing not too great about this game, like, I don't think I would continue to play it. So, like, it's on that fine, fine line. Fine line. They need to tweak this leveling up business, because I should be, like, a level 7 hunter at this point, and the fact that I'm a 5 really pisses me off. Like,
I feel your rage.
I've killed so many things. I totes deserve to be more than a fucking level 5. I'm sorry. For the hours I put in, I'm surprised I'm not double digits right now. You know what I'm saying? But that's what's going on. But wait for it to drop in price if you're really curious. But if you really want to wet your whistle on what I feel this game was trying to be, but like on a bigger scale, then play Horizon Zero Dawn. At least there's a story there. That's it. That's all I got.
Well, I think that that's a lot.
It is.
Like,
it's a lot to try to digest, and like I still don't think I've spoken enough to it, because like I said, there's still a whole lot in this game. But, like, the menus are a lot. The tutorials are a lot. Like, there's a lot of words.
Management.
There's a lot of words constantly on the screen. And, like, there's no pause either. Like, that's another thing. Like, monsters are coming at me. There's no pause. That's very Dark Souls-y. Because there's no pause in Dark Souls. Things still happen around you in Dark Souls. Which is why Dark Souls is definitely not a game for you either.
Yeah. Because Dark Souls is just not a game. Period. Go ahead.
It's an experience. It's a survival experience. And that's kind of the same thing here, because, yes, there's no pause. So, you know, if you're not carefully, you know, hiding in a bush when, you know, an Anjanath shows up, well, Anjanath's going to rape your face. And that's on you, because you should have been taking precautions to make sure you and your Palico were safe. So that's on you.
Not on my lack of a pause menu.
Nope, that's right. Always be prepared.
I took a precaution. I didn't buy the game, so
that's right. Like, I feel like the next time I load up this game, I'm just gonna have Scars Be Prepared playing in the background during my missions, because you really just should always be prepared, because everything is out to get you in Monster Hunter World.
I mean, everything is out to get you in the real world. So that's
it's a life lesson. So learning.
The more you know. I will say that, you know, it still looks like an amazing game. The animations look fantastic. It's a pretty looking game, but it definitely seems like, at least for me, way too much management and not enough game action.
Yeah.
For me to enjoy it.
Very,
you know,
true.
That's kind of where I tend to end up when it comes to Final Fantasy games. Okay, gorgeous games. You know, very interesting stories and very interesting characters, but there's so much item management, party management, menu management, and not enough action game for me to be able to stick with it. And that's why I asked you before I put any money on it if I should put any money on it.
I saved you money. You know how Geico saves you insurance money? I saved you game money.
You saved me game money. And
just ask me.
Go to you.
Panda Plays. It's like, don't buy this just yet. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. And I didn't do it. So instead, what I did do was I bought Dynasty Warriors 9. Now, I'm not going to talk about Dynasty Warriors 9 on this podcast. Because I actually
come back next week.
Play some. Because it took a hot minute to install.
I know. What's up with these big-ass games?
Yeah, big-ass game. Because they got big-ass graphics. Because everybody's got big-ass TVs. And freaking 4K TVs with the HDR now. So you can't put out a crappy-looking game anymore. We won't accept crappy-looking games unless they are specifically made crappy-looking in an homage to retro gaming. That's, like, the only way the gaming community will accept games right now.
Right, that look like. That have a particular aesthetic.
Oh my god, it's so retro. It looks like an 8-bit game. No, it's just a coolly designed game. Come on, come on. You don't got to throw a lot of polys at everything just to make a good game.
That's right. Rockstar. Okay,
lots of polys do not just make a game good.
So.
Rockstar. So anyway, I will be talking about Dynasty Warriors 9 next week on the podcast. As you guys know, I was a fiend for Dynasty Warriors back in the day. I pretty much did not let a DW game get past me until about 7. 7's where I kind of like tapped out of Dynasty Warriors for a bit. It just is because it became way too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. The premise of the game being that it's basically capture the flag at the core of the game. It's capture the flag through the lens of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms. So it had a lot of stuff that I liked in the game, you know, just crazy amount of run, find the bad guys, beat up the bad guys, hopefully beat up the bad guys enough that you could take over their base, and therefore it becomes your base, so you don't have any more bad guys coming out of that base, capture the flag, and then rinse, repeat, and continue to do so within a time limit, and Bob's your uncle, you win the battle, you take it all the way to Oda Nobunaga, and you defeat the Oda clan, and then you win the battle. And
you
win!
Yay!
Boom! Ito becomes yours, and woohoo! Which clan did it? Your clan did it! Yay!
Yay!
I usually play generals from the Sanada clan because I like red. So anyway. I just liked the game because they were really fun, you know, picking out, like, which bases I knew I should close up first in order to basically guarantee that I would have enough resources to make it all the way to the big boss of the map and win the battle. And I enjoyed that because it was a lot of hack and slash. But with a little bit of strategy. Not a lot. Just a little bit. And I liked it. But it really started to, at 7, and then in some of the offshoot Warriors games, Warriors Orochi, it just really started to get somewhat repetitive, okay, in that, you know, by design, the game's repetitive. Take the flag, move to next section, take the flag, move to next section. But it always felt a little bit different because you didn't know, like, what generals or sub-generals were going to pop up out of no place. And if there was going to be any elemental things that popped up that kind of changed the way the battle went. So it wasn't just completely stagnant. But it really started to feel that way around 7 and 8 and the Orochi games that came out around that time. So I just stepped away from it. But they've added a lot of things into 9 that I finally was like, you know what? I miss playing these types of games. I've been cooped up here for a bit anyway, so if I'm going to play one by myself, this is probably a good time for me to jump back in. They announced some new generals, so I will be playing it throughout the week, and I will be talking about my Dynasty Warriors 9 experience next week. But for now, we're going to end this show on a Blurreds of a Feather segment, because there's no way.
There was no way. Zero.
No way that we were not going to talk about Black Panther.
I just want you to know, sis, that I have held my mouth about a lot of, like, my feelings for it because I've been saving it for this show. Uh-huh. And I've been approached several times, like, everyone's like, oh, man, like, can we talk? And I'm like, I can't. I gotta wait for my sister. Like, this is a me and sister thing. Like, we gotta voice this out.
I appreciate you.
So, like, I said how it made me feel, but I didn't talk about it at all because I wanted to talk about it with you. So I'm so glad that I was able to keep my mouth shut long enough to have the experience.
Yeah. Yeah, and I appreciate that. Like, no joke. I really appreciate that because...
It's
like,
been hard.
This is a big one, really, because it's been, like, a week.
I know. And after I
You're not
thought,
the best at keeping your mouth shut.
I'm not. And I'll be the first one to tell you, like, if it's national security, like, I'll keep my mouth shut because, you know. But, like, if it's gossip that won't hurt anybody but, like, one person, well, maybe don't show your ass and then maybe I don't open my mouth. So, like that.
If you don't do things that require me to read you, you won't get read.
You won't get read. That is, I need to get that tattooed somewhere. Because people are like, Panda, why do you open your mouth? I'm like, why you do dumb shit?
Right.
I'm like, if you weren't doing dumb shit, I'd have nothing to say. Because then I would be doing dumb shit, and then you guys would all have something to say about me.
But instead, we got a lot to say about Black Panther. So I want to jump in here.
Let's do it.
I think... First and foremost, you know, I read a few Black Panther comics when I was younger. Not a lot. Frankly, just because I wasn't able to get my hands on a lot of them. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't really have a comic book store near me. Mm-hmm. So the only place that I could get comics was at the Toys R Us when our mom would take us to Toys R Us. And Toys R Us didn't have, you know, a deep comic selection. Okay, right. They only kept a few books in that, you know, seemed to sell well month after month. So it was only the occasional Black Panther comic that I got a chance to read as a kid. But I always enjoyed the character because I thought it was just so cool to have a superhero that was a black man who was a king of this nation of highly advanced... scientifically driven black people. Okay, and where I really lost my shit was, as you know, my girl, my hero of heroes has always been Storm.
Right.
So yes. When T'Challa married Storm in the comic books, I was like, black royalty!
Well, because I thought there was like kind of like the rumor that like Storm was actually like a lost child of Wakanda. And like that's... Like, her powers come from somehow her absorbing vibranium, and that's why she was able to manipulate the elements a little bit. I don't know.
I don't know that line, but I just, like, I remember seeing them as a power couple, and, like, as a kid being like, oh, it would be so great.
Like, that will be me one day. Oh, no, it didn't.
No, it didn't last. And eventually, that marriage was annulled. But... it was just really cool to, you know, think of there being a nation of people like me out there. Because, like, again, as a kid, so I don't really know about Africa at this point. We haven't really touched upon the slaveries yet in the first grade, right. Second grade, you know, so I don't know any of these things. And so, you know, to fast forward at this point and to know that this movie has been coming... I've been hyped for this movie for a long time. I think a lot of people have been hyped for this movie. And I think for so many reasons, but the biggest one is because there is a big budget black superhero movie, which hasn't really happened before. And I say that knowingly because Blade, those movies were... Well, two of those movies. Let me step that back before I finish
Thank
it.
Thank you for the correction.
I stopped it before it came all the
because
way
because the eyes were open, the book was opening, and a comment was coming.
I was
so
about
glad
to get
you
read.
Made no, the correction.
The first two Blade movies were good movies, especially if you read any of the Blade comics. Okay, and I love Wesley Snipes and the fact that he got Chris Christopherson in there. Like, you know, they had named actors. It wasn't an off the you know, cuff kind of movie. But at the same time, they weren't big budget movies. And they weren't blockbuster movies either. Right. So we haven't had this before. And when I say we haven't, I mean nerds, I mean blurbs, I mean just Black Americans, period. We haven't had a big budget, positive superhero movie where the lead of the movie is Black. We haven't had it.
Right.
And we also haven't had the experience at a point in time where cosplaying as characters that you enjoy was also openly accepted.
Also true.
Because, first and foremost, the thing that I love most about the opening of this movie, like before I even got to see the movie and its content, was just how many African-American people around the country dressed and came out and cosplayed. Like, I was
I don't even think that was it. I think, one, for me, at least at my showing, there were so many African people in their traditional kente and their dashikis, and older people on top of that. Like, I think I was having a conversation with someone on Facebook about how, in his showing, he saw a lot of older adults who came out in support of this movie because they had never seen anything like this, you know, in their lifetime. Like, yeah, we got our Blaxploitation movies, but, like, they're their own genre.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the same thing. And, like, they all came out to support this shift in Hollywood. And I mean, and I say Hollywood because I know that there's, you know, that the commentary of Black Hollywood, which, I mean, yes, it is a thing. But I like to see that this line is now, it's been muddled a little bit for the better. And it's, like, nice. Hey, look, these people look like me.
I just love the fact, like I said, that there were so many people that came out that cosplayed and dressed. And when I say cosplayed and dressed, I mean, I was trolling the internet because I wasn't able to get tickets to see the movie until Saturday. And there were a lot of people that were seeing Thursday midnight showings of the movie and then some.
Yeah.
And I was trolling the internet, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And there were people who dressed up, like, as the cast of Coming to America, like, literally as King Joffy Jofa with the gold chain and the lion pelt that with the head that hit at the shoulder. Like, people made their own costumes and crowns and things. And I was like, hell yeah. Like, I love this. And then there were, you know, groups that I saw of, you know, adults who dressed as Dora Milaje, children who dressed as Dora Milaje troops and showed up. Like, it was just so fantastic to see so many people who look like me.
Yeah.
Embracing a fandom and embracing this nerdery thing. And it be something that was happening across generations before you even got into the movie. I had a few friends that ended up doing their own private screening, so they rented out a whole screening and sold tickets to their friends at lower fees so that they could have the experience together. There are different other celebrities who were buying out theaters so that parents could take their kids in inner cities to go see the movie that wouldn't necessarily probably have had the funds to do it otherwise. And so, like, I started to see this Black Panther challenge start trending, and I was like, what's this? And it's just like, oh, well, you know, random stars are buying out 3 or 4 screens of the movie at various theaters around the country and inviting the inner city kids in those areas to come out and see the movie. It's that important that they see it that they're just spending thousands of dollars to buy tickets for these kids to go and see it. And I'm just like, I have not seen anything like that ever happen before.
Ever.
And
well, no, because when Hidden Figures came out last year.
Yeah. I just think I haven't seen anything like it on this scale. Like, I saw a few people buy out movie theaters, but not, like, every day there's a new celebrity who is like, hey, kids, blah, 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 I want you to see this movie. Like, Tracee Ellis Ross bought out a theater for some kids. Like, you gotta come with a parent, but everybody, first come, first serve, come in and see this movie. These are the screenings today. I'm just like, this is something different. And then I went to go see the movie.
Yeah, so now let's talk about the movie.
Okay, first of all, Wakanda Forever. Like, there's just... no way around it. This movie, what I enjoyed the movie so much, I thought that it had the right amount of wit and seriousness. It had a great balance of commentary on not only colorism and classism that exists within the African-American black community in America today, but it also was just beautiful to look at. Like, so, I mean, all this, the backgrounds, Wakanda's amazing.
Two times during the movie.
I cried during, three.
during the opening segment where you're seeing Wakanda and you're hearing the story about how Wakanda got established and you see all this community, like, and that rhythmic drum is coming in and the sweeping aerial shots into this world. Like, I felt like it was talking to me. And I know that this is a comic book and I know it's not a real place, but, like, it's rooted in this call to our people. And I'm sitting there next to...
Well, the Atlanta airport had flights going to Wakanda.
I need to get to Atlanta. But, like, I felt called to. Like, legitimately, if this had been, like, a movie, like, a whisper, like, child, do you hear me, is, like, ringing in my ears. And I am, like, I am verklempt. I don't know if I'm going insane, if I'm having a heart attack or what, but, like, I felt this strong sense of unity. I felt this call to me, and I was like, whoa, that's intense. And my husband's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm good, it's resonating. So something is stirring beneath the surface. That's all it is. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And, like, throughout the whole movie, like, it... There are definitely elements in that movie that I know for a fact that the majority of black people and people of color have lived through. So, like, it kept hitting every so often, like, it would start veering into a superhero movie, but then be like, oh, no, I'm going to make this comment right now. Boom. And, like, can we talk for a second about the fine motherfuckers of Black Panther for, like, a second? Because, like, for the first 20 minutes before even getting into the theater, I had to have a discussion with my husband that, no, the guy from 12 Years a Slave is not Black Panther. That is a totally different man.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah, Edgy Ofor.
Yes.
And I was like, no, Edgy Ofor
is not Chadwick Boseman.
Two different guys.
He's two different guys.
I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Chadwick Boseman.
Okay, Edgy Ofor, Kinky Boots.
Well, like, he was also like, well, if Chad got a little scruffier and a little older, I'm like, yes.
No,
like,
well,
I think if he was a little taller with a little stronger of a jawline and had, like, the hair, that,
look,
yes.
Chadwick Boseman is Chadwick Boseman. He don't need to be Tijuana Eljo.
No, he is his own entity. But, like, had to spend 20 minutes establishing that was not the guy. Not the guy. And then we get to Eric Killmonger.
Michael B. Jordan. Yep.
Who he's like, I've seen him. I'm like, yes, he was in Creed.
He was in Creed.
He was also in Fruit. I think he's in Fruitvale.
He's in Fruitvale. That's how he and Ryan
got connected. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and on top of that, unfortunately, he was.
We don't talk about this.
No. We got to. And here's why. Because I think, coming from the horrible Fantastic movie, helped him fuel his drive to get into the best Marvel movie, and he succeeded. And we've now had two living torches go from horrible Fantastic Four movies to breakout Marvel characters.
So
it's happened.
Here's the thing. I don't really like Evans as Captain America, but that's another podcast. So anyway, jumping back to all of this, yes, everybody in this movie, the movie is filled with black royalty. Let's just start, there with, Forest Whitaker and Angela Bassett and Lupita Nyong'o and Letitia and I'm forgetting her name now, who plays Okoye. She was Michonne in,
yes. Walking oh, my Dead. God. And I'm, throughout the whole movie, I'm staring at her. I'm like, I know her face. How do I know her? And I'm like, in her presence. And I'm like, oh, put some dreads on her and she's Moshone.
Yes.
Mm. I was like, right. girl, get it. Yeah, and go get out with that. Go get out.
Okay. But
he's
like,
in there.
Top to bottom. Top to bottom. The casting is fantastic. The music is fantastic. The visuals are fantastic. I don't want to give anything away, but ultimately, you know, it comes down to really the movie is commentary on multiple issues that are plaguing and keeping the African-American community in America from actually being and functioning like a real community. You know, you have this classism, okay? We talk about this all the time. We got bougie people in our family, and we got, you know, regular people in our family. And, you know, we look outside the family, and there's, you know, ratchet to bougie. Where do you live? Like, I have been part of conversations with friends where, like, on a scale of, you know, Cosby showed a different world, where would you be? And I'm just like, this is not cool. But I play the games, too. Like, I've played Black Card Revoked.
I haven't yet, but somebody I was with a couple of days ago brought it up because she is not of the OC.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a very strong ally. I love her. She's always willing to have that, ask the hard question, have that hard conversation so that she can grow as a person. And I appreciate people who do this because, mm-hmm. one, it needs to be done more often, and it can't be until people conquer their fear of, oh no, what kind of answer am I going to get? How am I going to feel about the answer I'm going to get? And am I ready to understand the answer that I'm going to get?
Right.
But she's always the first person to be like, I want to ask a hard question. I'm like, let's sit down somewhere comfortable. Do you have a beer? Let's go.
Right.
Like, I'm ready to bequeath the wisdom that I have from personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I was on a date with a beautiful chocolate gentleman. I'm like, good on you. And mm-hmm. he's like, and we were with his friends and we were playing Black Card Revoked. I'm like, did you play? You know, and she was like, we played on teams. I'm like, oh, okay, good. I'm like, how quickly did yours? She's like, pretty quickly. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how did that feel? Okay, let's talk about that.
I don't even know why you're saying how did that feel, because part of the reason why we haven't played Black Card Revoked is because
I would just, at the beginning of the game, just like, here it is. It's like every 3 months I get it back, and then I open my mouth, and there it goes. So I'm just, it's
no,
a funny joke,
but
not a funny joke.
But it's funny, but it's not funny, because it's
right.
real. And that's why
right.
it's funny. It's because it's based in truth. And that's the thing that resonated and, like, made me cry as I was watching the movie, is I started to recognize the not-so-subtle after the subtle nods to it. You know, you have one tribe of the six tribes that, you know, basically made up Wakanda. After the unification, the Jabari, they left because they're like, this is bullshit. And,
right.
like, you guys are playing yourselves. And they went up into the mountains. And the Jabari are, you know, basically what currently I feel like people within the community refer to as Hoteps. Like,
yes.
you know, we are pure. This is our deal. And anything more than that is sacrilegious and bullshit. You know, one thing I do want to say is that I do really appreciate that M'Baku, the leader of the Jabari, I really appreciate that Ryan Coogler and the whole team at Marvel decided to only refer to him as M'Baku in the entirety of the movie and not how he's typically referred to as in the comics, which is Manape, because he dresses in a full gorilla suit skin in the comics. And
okay.
so you can like kind of see his face behind the teeth. And so he's referred to as Manape, which, you know.
Yep. I
right?
can see why that would be a little awkward.
So I really appreciated the fact that when he issued the challenge, you know, for being the leader and getting the title of Black Panther from T'Challa, that was the only moment where they wore the animal masks. and gave like the nod and the nod to it, but did not go into the disrespectful areas that the comics kind of did, just because they were a product of their times. Right. I really appreciated that. But again, I don't want to give anything away from the movie, because I really feel like everyone needs to see this movie. It is such a gorgeous movie, and it feels wholesome. And it took me a while to figure out like what the word was, but it just feels wholesome all the way through. Like the relationship between Shuri, who is now my black girl magic for president.
I like that Disney has another black princess now.
Disney has, like, you know, a couple Disney of princesses is- that they need to, like, acknowledge and deal with. You know, Leia's got to get the Disney treatment, because Leia's now a princess.
That's right. Well, I mean, queen, a Disney princess, general.
Yes. But princess. Princess first and foremost. Obviously, Black Panther's mother, who was a queen, you know, she was a princess's in point. So, she's got to get the princess treatment.
Right.
And obviously, Shuri has to get the princess treatment. Nakia's probably going to need to get princess treatment to queen treatment pretty quickly. But I love Shuri. I love that, you know, really kind of the hero of the day is the technology that she has armed her brother and Wakanda with. And then the soul of the country, basically, is Nakia, and it's brought forth through the strength of T'Challa. I love the way that the characters are written. I love the way that the entire movie is presented. Kendrick's soundtrack is unbelievable.
Oh, God, did it? Oh! I knocked it out of the fucking park.
Okay, just top down, the movie was fantastic, the experience was amazing. I'm working on getting a group together to go and see it again. So expect a group Texas.
All right.
Because next weekend we probably rolling with the cuzzos to experience together this thing, because it's just an amazing, I think, for our generation, once in a lifetime experience for our community.
I agree.
I don't have anything negative to say about this movie other than I don't know that I can wait for it to come out on digital.
So I don't know if I would consider this a negative, but I definitely kind of want to address this, because so your spirit animal, your digievolution,
Angela Bassett,
this movie is in this movie. And a lot of people, because, like, and I don't go into Reddit very often, because, one, I don't believe in Reddit, but
I don't believe in Reddit either.
There's a giant thread of, like, theories coming out of this movie, and a lot of people were like, when I first saw the pictures of Angela Bassett with white dreads, and my initial impression was, you know, she is Storm. Yep. Because I think in all of our minds growing up, we're like, oh, man.
Look, we've had this fight many times.
You and I have had this conversation. But I'm now hearing other people having similar conversations to one that we were having years ago. Decades ago, actually, if I'm being honest. But I'm sitting there, and, like, even I had the reminiscence, like, forever my Storm is Angela Bassett.
Yep.
And a lot of people were like, but it wouldn't make much sense in this movie for her to be
Storm.
She couldn't be Storm in this, because obviously, as we know, Storm married T'Challa.
Yeah.
And T'Challa is the queen's son. So clearly, I feel like the director Ryan wanted to pay some homage to, you know, that union, which is why we saw a strong resemblance. Because I'm sure maybe even in his mind, he's like, oh man, if I had had this opportunity to do this movie way before now, when I could have gotten her younger, which doesn't even matter, because Angela Bassett still looks just like she did back when she was freaking Tina Turner, back in the day. Like clearly,
the last
20
years does not appear upon her visage,
on her face at all. So clearly, she's bathing in the blood of virgins somewhere.
It's working for her.
It's working. But I like that we saw the homage, and I feel like he was like, hey, guys, like, even though she can't be, like, play around with this visual for a while. You know, like, hey, it's here. We acknowledge it. And, like, it was, like, a nice, like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, because she can never be Storm in the MCU now.
Nope. It will never happen. Unfortunately, it can't happen.
Can't happen.
And, I mean, and now, unfortunately, My second choice also now can't be because she's the spy love interest lady, not Nakia.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, oh my god, it's a fine wine. It's like the crispiest chicken. It was so good. I almost snuck in some chick nugs and some hot sauce into the IMAX theater. I thought about it. For a hot minute.
Don't be that person. Because there are movie theaters now that are changing their bag policy because of this shit. Because
it's like... Because there was one picture of one guy. He's like, look. He's like, I had my mom cook me authentic food. You all up here with your popcorn. And I'm here with my... And I can't pronounce the food to save my life. But it looked delicious. And I'm like, you go. You go, son. But, I mean, while we don't want to spoil the movie, I think we can kind of... But I do feel we could kind of talk of, you know, that this is
we're
like
running out of time, so...
coming of age story. Lots of hot black men. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Tension everywhere. Fine wine. 10 out of 10. Would watch
black
again.
Panther.
Black Panther. Ten second reviews.
Yeah.
10 second reviews.
That's pretty much it. Like, it really is. It's fantastic. And I think that, you know, we'll talk about this more in another podcast because I definitely want to get into the, you know, what side of the argument are you on as far as, you know, some of the points that are brought up. But I want to give more people a chance to watch the movie before we dug into that. But it's absolutely fantastic. You need to check it out. So please make sure that you do. We thoroughly enjoyed it. And we'll see it again and again. Before it comes out on digital, because I need to see it in the motion experience, and I need to see it in the butt kicker IMAX. So,
oh yeah, that I saw it with butt kickers, and yes, it was magical. Black girl magic everywhere.
With that, please make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. You can get it on our site, electricsisterhood.com, as well as check out some of the other great editorials, news, and reviews that we are writing on that site. You can get our podcast through iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast Electric Sisterhood and hitting subscribe. You can also check out our editorials, articles, and reviews through Apple News on your various iOS devices. If you're enjoying what we're doing on our site that you've bookmarked already, as well as our podcast, then please make sure that you check out all of the other great writers and content creators that make up the Land of Esh, our entire network, starting with our homie King Baby Duck over at b3crew.com with his show, No Borders, No Race, coming to you bi-weekly, spinning some really fantastic indie, rock, J-pop, you name it. If it's entertaining in any way, shape, or form, he's talking about it and probably spinning it over at No Borders, No Race, available in iTunes and on his site, b3crew.com. Please make sure to bookmark, comment, like, subscribe, check out some of the videos that are on our YouTube channel from him as well as us, and just keep the love and buzz going. On Wednesdays, our homie Hamsterman2049 kicking up new games and old games on his live stream on Twitch TV. Wednesday nights, you can get the link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Esh. Typically 9 Eastern, sometimes a little bit earlier, but typically 9 Eastern on Wednesdays when he's playing new stuff on Twitch. So please make sure that you check out what he's playing. Join him in chat. Give him some guidance. Have a ball. I stay away from when he's playing scary games like Outlast. Anywho, moving it right along, one of my favorite humans on the planet, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's Recap and Review. One of the most hilarious recap shows on YouTube. I love popping into his recaps whenever I can live and jumping into chat and being part of the conversation. You can do it too, as well as just some of the other random but crazy fun streams that Phil is doing on his YouTube channel, Phil's Recap and Review. You can check out his archive as well as his written articles on his site, issuesprogram.com. And last but certainly not least, wrapping it up, our homies talking about all the stuff that nerds crave, comics, video games, anime, manga, movies, and more. over at nerdcrave.com. So please make sure that you bookmark all of our sites, that you check us out across social, that you like, that you comment, that you subscribe on our videos and all of the content that we're putting out on our channels, so that we can become no longer the internet's best kept secret. With that, I think I've taken care of all the business. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time,
Wakanda forever.